In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The icon for this day, the icon of the Last Judgment, is an icon of the sign of all things. It isn't just a revelation of what happens after we die. You may have noticed, all of us have noticed, this world is out of joint. The universe, the cosmos, is morally broken because we are morally broken. It begins and it ends with us. Nothing is as it could be. Nothing is as it should be. But into this universe of endless possibilities now fallen into chaos, the Son of Man, the Son of God, was born. And by birth, death, and resurrection, he established a new center, a fixed point in a world of moral chaos. We don't live in a world that is simply flat and outside of ourselves. How we are affects the world. It has been so from the beginning. The world is broken because we are broken. But here at last, in this icon, everything is revealed as it has been resolved. What God told Adam and Eve as they left the garden, "Go, suffer, and die the death you have chosen," was not God's final judgment. Now there is salvation. The icon of today is an icon of both this moral sorting process that goes on during our lives and also of the inescapable consequences of what we do. This judgment is not something that just comes at the end of life. All of these things are going on now. They can't be made right simply by words. We don't have a legal relationship to God, where God, the judge, can say, "It's all right, I forgive you," and everything is changed. We must change. Forgiveness must be accompanied by repentance, turning around, moving in the opposite direction, moving toward Christ, actively living his life instead of the selfish and self-gratifying life that we were leading when we did whatever we come and confess. Above the cross in the icon sits the incarnate and arisen Son of God, enthroned in glory. He is truth. He is justice. He is not dressed as he was when he walked with the apostles. He is robed as the King of all things, and that is what he is. He humbly rules and judges as the ultimate human divine personal reality. He judges by being who and what he is, and by the fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God. All he needs to do is to be there when we come before him, and we are judged. Not because of his condemnation, but because of the fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God, and the things that we do are not God-like things to do. And he has made it possible for us to have the strength and the courage to do as he does, along with him. As he said of the Father, "What I see the Father doing, I do." That is how it is meant to be with us. And yet we do other things. And repentance, forgiveness, it means that we will stop doing those things and move in the opposite direction. Not as isolated individuals who have been given by God somehow the strength and power of our own to be able to do that, but because we do it along with him as he does it along with the Father. And he judges, not just at the end of our lives, but now. We are in the presence of Christ now. We live in the presence of Christ because we have declared ourselves to him. We have been baptized into his life. We come and receive his body and his blood, his life into us, and then we go into the world and we betray him and we betray others. This icon is as much an icon of the second coming as it is an icon of the last judgment, which has, after all, already begun. The end times began when the crucified and risen Christ ascended and again sat down to the right hand of the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit into the world, and from then on, the end times had begun. from then until now, it is as it is in this icon. This is a revelation of the moral reality of the world as it is after Christ's work has been accomplished. Living our salvation has already begun and is available to us to live. But also, judgment has already begun. It is the last times for us. It doesn't wait until we die, and then afterward, we are judged as though our relationship to God were a legalistic one, and we were trying to follow some rules, which we break and we confess and he forgives. That is not the reality of things. We hide in that delusion because it relieves us of the responsibility to actually live our lives differently from the way we were living them when we confessed the things that we confessed before him. Instead of having eyes to see this, we accept the broken condition of the world around us as normal, and we strive to make our own way according to its unrighteous terms. And sometimes we succeed and are proud of our success, and that too is a betrayal of Christ. We accept its values, the values of the world, and we get used to living fully in accordance with them, even though we imagine that we worship higher things. We imagine, but we do not do. We see Christ in the icon raising his right hand and lowering his left hand. As in the gospel, he pushes away those who reject him when they encounter him in others. And that is how we encounter Christ. We encounter Christ in others. And either we minister to them and minister to Christ, or we do not. Instead, we use others for our self-gratification. And at the same time, as we use them, we judge them. Christ's gesture is the same sign of balance as the third bar of the cross. In the three-bar cross, the bottom bar is tilted. The side that tilts up is the side of the good thief who confessed Christ as he was being crucified along with him. And Jesus told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And the thief on the other side cursed him and affirmed his acceptance of the brokenness of the world as the normal way of living. The cross is the moral center. One thief ascended and the other descended. Why thieves? Why two thieves? Because none of us earns salvation. None of us ever has it as our rightful possession. On the right side of Christ, the saints are ready to be gathered in. St. Peter is shown with the keys to paradise, the Garden of Eden. Cherubim are at the door of paradise in the icon, just as they were embroidered into the veil of the temple. Today, in divine liturgy, we enter through royal gates into the kingdom of God. The processions of the priest out this door, through the royal doors, into the sanctuary, are processions of all of us who enter into an active participation in Christ's life. There is no legalistic magic. There is no affirmation of something that isn't real. There is no legalistic acceptance as if we were now righteous before God, even though we don't participate in the divine life of Christ himself. That is the only way. We have to actually actively participate. And if we break that participation, then we go to confession, not to admit that I have done something that needs to be forgiven, but that we have broken that communion with God and we have not lived in the world as a revelation of Christ with everyone that we've met. During the week, we either continue living in the life that we receive here, or we give it up out of preference for the enemy. Everything in this icon is taking place in the here and now of our lives every day. Based on a legalistic misunderstanding of things, the left-hand side of the icon, the side of the goats, the side of the thief that cursed Christ, is misunderstood as entirely negative. Entirely a revelation of punishment that speaks to fear and encourages fear and encourages conversion out of fear. But it's not so. That side of the icon speaks to hope. The well-known iconographer Jonathan Peugeot emphasizes the positive meaning of the left-hand side. Below the feet of the saints, an angel blows the last trump. This trumpet can be heard whenever we are moved to true and genuine repentance and change, because we at last see the consequences. We don't hide behind a legalism where we feel justified because we have been given some blessing. We see beasts of every kind in this icon, every kind of sin and temptation, every animality of the passions, hunger, pride, lust. They all pull us into death and despair. If we look close, and you won't be able to see it in this small icon on the analogion, but there is an icon above the door as you leave that is the same icon. We pass under it every day as we go out into the world to live the life that we have gained here. And if you look closely there, you will see that these animals are spitting up people. They are giving up their prey. These passions are giving up their prey. They are giving up those that they had devoured. These images are images of repentance. The passions, after all, give up their dead at the word of Christ. Fallen angels came out of the one in the tombs. It was filled with a legion of demons. And that's what's happening there. At the word of Christ, at the sound of the last trump, that is when we finally have ears to hear. Below is a sign of Jonah, a devouring fish, as an image of final loss. It shows that there is a real possibility of final devouring. Not everyone repents. There are those who love and prefer the path of the enemy. There are those who worship him and his image and his likeness when it is seen in the world, in evil people, people who have given themselves over to evil. There are those who are inspired by that image, that likeness. But even here, we can remember that at the resurrection, Christ raised people out of the mouth of Hades. That is what is going on in the icon of the resurrection. Christ has taken hold of Adam and Eve and is drawing them forth out of Hades. And he can draw forth those that have even reached this point in that lower right-hand corner of the icon as we look at it. A painful river of fire does, in fact, run through our life. Terrible things happen to us because of the brokenness of the world. They are not things that are done to us by God. There is suffering and death in this world. But Christ has come and dealt with that suffering and death. And it need not overcome us. It need not control our lives. We need not be like those who turn to the world and accept its terms and its values and be devoured by our passions. Fire does run through our life and we experience pain and suffering. We have real losses, but fire can also purify. Any of us can escape loss. Loss and death are never the end. It is never too late until our own short time has ended. If it were too late, then why show this icon now? Now, so close to the beginning of our common effort to return to the bosom of life, to return as fully as we possibly can to the water springs of an eternal life, that is what we are about to do. This time next week and the day after, it is a matter of returning to paradise, even in this world, paradise within ourselves, rather than giving up and giving over to the forces of sin and suffering and death still at large in the world, but they have been conquered by Christ. The icon is not a threat. It is an invitation to turn again fully and begin living the life that is an open invitation to all of us, an eternal life that we can begin living right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.